everybody. Welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It is episode number 171 for Friday, February 14th, 2014. It's Valentine's Day, and it makes us feel all warm and fuzzy, and you know how much we hate that. Welcome to the show. I'm Phil Nickinson, the editor of AndroidCentral.com, and with us this week, we have Richard Devine in the UK.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Is that your real accent? You're not making that up?
Maybe. Depends who's asking.
We got Andrew Martinick, not in the UK.
Yeah, I know. That makes... I guess it's two of us, right?
We're Is that really how down. You guys sound in Seattle?
We have the best newscaster non-regional diction in the country, I think.
Seriously?
I think so. I think everybody strives to have a non-regional, in the U.S. anyways.
I think you're making that up. Alex Dobie, also in the U.K.
Hey, everyone.
You totally could have come at us with some crazy accent and nobody would have known.
I was thinking what to come up with.
That's a real newscaster.
I mean, I couldn't think of something.
Like, every now and then Alex will throw out some southern accent or something, and it's so creepy to, you know, especially if you get to see him do it. It's bizarre. It's nuts. So, what's going on? Everybody having a good made-up corporate mushy holiday?
Everybody at Hallmark is.
Yeah. I suppose
everybody
I should
have done Netflix something. Is as well, I suppose, today.
What's that?
Everybody at Netflix is probably having a better day today.
Yes. House of Cards.
Yep.
In fact, we should just skip the podcast and we'll go home and watch it now. How about that?
I have like a Sounds fifth good. Window that's just House of Cards that people can watch that if they want instead of us.
I don't know how...
Netflix might have an issue with that.
Yeah. I might have an issue with that too if I think about it.
Four grown men sat in silence watching Netflix for an
might
hour.
Not be the best of ideas. So kind of a slow week in the Android world, I guess. I mean, not a whole lot going on for new devices and stuff. I do think we need, Andrew, and everybody out there, especially everybody in the U.S., I think we do need to give Richard and Alex, like, you know, 5 minutes. Sorry, I'm looking at my bare, my bare wrist when I need to be looking at the pebble steel. Let's give them, like, 5 minutes to talk about the Moto X, because the two of you finally got one, right? You're actually sharing it. Alex gets the top half.
We got two. We're not sharing it across cities. It's nice. I wish we had this 5 months ago, but for whatever reason, it's taken them a while to get it over here. You know, really nice phone. I think the price point for this is right now. It's reduced. It was 380 at launch. Now it's 300 ish. Most SIM free places. The contract price is pretty competitive as well. Ran about the same as the Nexus 5, so pretty good. And yeah, it really is about the performance and the features. You've got a chip in here that isn't necessarily bleeding edge by any means, but it feels as fast to use as most Snapdragon 800 phones. The display is 720, it's AMOLED, it's good AMOLED, not Pentile AMOLED, so there's that. Looks good, not necessarily accurate colors, but bright, vivid, looks really nice. But it really is just about the features, isn't it? It's about active display, touchless control, and all that stuff. And they were talking a lot about how it would sort of change the way you used a phone. You still feel like kind of an idiot talking to your phone, but the thing that's changed for me is that the process of checking your phone with the touchless display stuff, the active display stuff, is... Yeah, normally you'd have to take it out of your pocket, look at the screen, press a button, bring the notification drawer down now. That's changed for me to just bring it out and pointing it at your face. And then you know immediately whether you want to unlock it or whether you want to look at your notifications. And it's just kind of eliminates a few steps that are small things, but just makes it much more enjoyable to use.
It's all about the active display stuff. I mean, and obviously the touchless control. I think my wife thinks I'm slightly crazy, though, because I've spent most of the day talking to Google Now, so... I don't know. You do feel a bit of a a bit of a sort when you're setting it up in particular, having to repeat the same phrase over and over again. But you know, like I've just been in the kitchen cooking dinner. Needed half an hour in the oven. The phone's on the side. I've got all just gunky hands. Okay, Google Now, set an alarm for 30 minutes from now. Damn, it's doing it as well. 30 minutes from now, done. And I only got mine this morning, and I love it. It's all the features. The hardware is, you can take it or leave it, but the stuff that Moto is
I think I like, worth it. There's a lot to be said for just the size and feel of this. I think, Phil, you've been saying this constantly since August, that it looks unassuming and it's just this plastic back device with soft touch or whatever, but it's the perfect fit for your hand. The screen is, you know, they've been very minimal with the bezels without being, you know, without just having no bezel, so it breaks when you drop it. The physical size and shape of the thing is very nice. You almost wish that for the next one, they would almost make more of a traditional high-end smartphone. I don't really, you know, that's not really what Motorola was about, but there are some things like the camera that are just kind of almost a deal breaker at this point. That it's pretty good if you get HDR locked on all the time, but even then you're waiting for it to process in the background. It's just, you know, going from using some of the Sony phones for the past few months, there's a big difference there.
So welcome to August.
Yep. Great.
You guys have kind of come to the same conclusion, and that's good. I think that's validation for us in what we thought, right? Have you tried the trusted Bluetooth at all yet?
I set it up. I haven't used it a whole lot.
But we get it on the Moto G anyway, so
that's true.
Yeah, we've had that for a while.
But I like that as well.
What about, you're talking about touchless control. Do you see how it's different than what we have on the Nexus 5 and how it's built in there?
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think when we eventually do see the Google launcher rolling out on Google Play, that's going to be a big kind of. It's going to sort of almost hijack that point because that's going to be part of the launcher, and it's not going to be as full feature because it doesn't work when the device is off, but it's going to be there anyway. I mean, it's a little bit. I think maybe the sort of activation phrase is a bit misleading because it isn't really Google Now handling that stuff, is it? It's Motorola, and the stuff that can do that Google Now can't. So. I mean, it works well enough, and certainly the voice activation works. The you know, it picks out what you say generally a bit better than most voice detection things do. So, yeah, I like it. Whether I'd use it long term, I don't know. Whether it would be useful once the novelty was worn off, and whether it's worth the battery cost, I don't know. We'll see.
A question coming out of I wrote up like the 6 month look back this week, and a question coming out of that was, how much longer is this phone going to be the top phone or be this good? How soon will something better come out?
I mean, within the next month and a half, right? You would think.
Maybe.
We'll be seeing a Galaxy S5 within, you know, a week and a half or whatever. HTC will have something shortly afterwards. So I don't know. If it does come down to the features, you have to wonder whether those features are still going to sort of weigh in the direction of the Moto X, or whether you're going to want to just, you know, whether a better camera or better battery life or a better screen is going to sway people. But if you look at a lot of the phones coming out this year, they're going to be using the Snapdragon 800, which has a lot of the low power sensor stuff built into it, so that if another manufacturer wanted to build their own version of that, it would be quite easy for them to do so. So we'll have to see. It's going to be an interesting couple of months, I think. We'll see how the Moto X holds up and whether Moto has something else up their sleeve to replace it eventually.
I don't want to talk too much more about the Moto X because we've been talking about it for 6 months. I get that people are tired of it. We do need to talk a little bit about Dennis Woodside, the CEO of Motorola, who is on his way out. He's going to go to Dropbox as the COO?
Their first COO, too.
First COO. It's a big deal. Russell Hawley wrote a good piece this week saying, you know, quit freaking out. It's not the end of the world for Moto. It's going to be different. I don't know. I mean, I feel weird every time we talk about these managerial things because it's not like we really know the people and understand what they do, right? I mean, the company's not going to crumble because he's not there, right?
And Woodside didn't have
Moto
a whole...
Moto X quit working because Woodside's leaving.
And Woodside didn't have a whole lot to do with Android before he moved over to Motorola either. When he was at Google, he was pretty much dealing with advertisements, which, you know, at a very high level at the, you know, entire America's level, but that wasn't really, you know, he wasn't affecting Android in a big way until he took the helm at Motorola, and that was he was there for less than 2 years. So I think the bigger story, if you want to talk about Woodside, you know, as a person leaving, the bigger deal is that he's leaving Google for Dropbox, really. He was with Google for over 10 years. And I don't think that, like you said, Phil, I don't think that Woodside leaving Motorola means that Motorola is, you know, more doomed now than they were before.
Yeah, and the grand scheme of things is the CEO leaving going to affect the company more on the products and the roadmap more, or are the new owners going to do that? It's, the two are probably connected, but you know, it's just another step in that transition from a Google company to a Lenovo company.
Right, and we don't know how much of Motorola is going to be turned over. You know, what Lenovo's plan is for who do they keep, how much more do they pare down the company. You know, they've said things, you know, Lenovo CEO coming out and saying things about how they're going to turn around Motorola to profitable in just a matter of a few quarters. You know, what does that entail? You know, how much of the executive structure is going to stay the same?
Yeah, I don't know.
None of us know. That's kind of the whole point.
I hate having that answer, but I mean, I don't know if I'm any more or less worried than I was last week, or after the whole Lenovo thing, or, you know, it's early yet, I think. Right.
They're still not owned by Lenovo yet, so.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. You want to do a couple Q&A questions? We're going to do a lot of Q&A questions this time, because it's just kind of a slow week, and I like doing them. We will start with Android Central. This is Jerry, by the way. Jerry's watching. He's just taking the week off because will Alex put the Moto X and the Z1 Compact in a cage and let them fight?
It's funny, really, because these two, I mean, they're very different kinds of phones, but they're almost exactly the same size. One's a 4.3 and the other's a 4.7, but Sony has its traditional gigantic bezels, whereas on the X you've got much more screen space. I don't know whether these two are, you know, they're both out in Europe now, whether they're necessarily competing with each other. The X is about £100 cheaper than the Z1 Compact. Really, I think, aimed at a totally different kind of consumer. It's all about the voice features and accelerating the way you use a smartphone and changing the way you use a smartphone with the X. And you've got the pure googly Android experience there as well. With the Sony phones, it's about the camera, it's about the battery life. It's about all the Sony ecosystem stuff you have built in there. So, I mean, both good phones. We reviewed the Compact today, but both very, very different.
Carlton wants to know, if Phil left, what would happen to Android Central? That's a very good question.
Dennis Woodside would be parachuted in to take over.
Let's find out. Here we go. I'm gone.
What do we do?
I'm coming back.
I don't know. I'm scared.
Let's start writing about iPhones.
The hardest part of that was having to stand back up. I'm sure the site would be fine without me. If not, I did a pretty crappy job training these guys, huh? Where's Jerry? We miss him, asks Dan.
Jason Lee says, will Jerry be my Valentine?
That's something you'll have to take up with him, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to watch the chat, see what Jerry says.
Don't know. Oh, man. You want to talk Mobile World Congress a little bit? Because we probably won't do a podcast next week. We'll probably just... not to say relax, because we're not going to be relaxing, but we'll be leaving for Mobile World Congress next week. I mean, Galaxy S5, right? That's what we're all expecting.
Yep.
Maybe a Galaxy Gear 2?
Maybe.
Possibility. It's still very,
just
very...
so soon.
It's so soon, but then again, you know, the reception wasn't too great. We've already had big discounts on it, so you got to think the time for launching it is with the S5. You're not going to get a full year out of the first gear. It's either going to be the S5 or the Note 4. And I don't think they can run with the current gear until September. I just don't think it's got
to be. Right, and it's maybe not a product that's big enough to launch on its own, so you kind of have to tie it to another launch.
Do you think the gear maybe was just like an early version, and they said, all right, we got to get something out. What can we do quickly?
It could be. The rumors are that the second one is kind of like some futuristic bangle. I don't know how accurate that is, but if it is, then that kind of suggests that they were looking at, you know, it was one of a few concepts they had knocking around. Maybe they've got crazy new stuff planned. Maybe the, like you say, it was just kind of a prototype, and it's what the other smartphone components they can get in there and the functionality they could get in there before the end of 2013.
I want to just put these up side by side for a minute. Galaxy Gear, Pebble Steel. And I've always liked this part, I think, of the Galaxy Gear. Like, that's well done. It's a little thick. It's definitely bigger than Pebble, right? But this part's not bad. The band, I was never crazy about. It's really stiff. Mm-hmm. The camera I can live without. But, I mean, you think we're going to see something even more sophisticated. And I tell you, did I talk about this last week? I'm loving the crap out of the Pebble Steel. I put the steel band on it this week. Very nice.
I still think the gear looks better on the whole than the steel does.
Well, you're wrong.
You think?
I think so. Mostly because just the watch face part looks so good. They could just make the tweak. If Samsung did something else for the, they got rid of the camera or put the camera in the body or some sort and got rid of the speaker down on the bottom, the band could be so much different that they wouldn't be stuck with all the electronics in there. You know, they flatten it out a little bit and it would look like a pretty attractive watch.
AMOLED, yeah. I mean, as beautiful as the AMOLED display is, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, it's just, it kills on the battery, right? What are you going to do?
Right.
It's just the way it is.
I mean, those are the engineering questions that they would have been dealing with over the past 6 months, and we'll see what they've come up with probably in a week or so.
You don't imagine they'll go Mirasol or...
No, I don't.
I think they'll stick with AMOLED if...
I mean, I don't see Samsung leaving.
Yeah.
Sorry, the obvious path is flexible AMOLED at some point, isn't it? They already have that technology. If they can get that into a wearable, that's just, it makes too much sense to not happen.
I mean, they've already started doing the curved display, you know, just a standard curved display as it is, haven't they? So it's possible that they could even go down that route. Mini Galaxy Round on your wrist.
My thing is, I don't understand what having the curved display really does. There's so many issues with the gear that aren't related to this display being flat that I would prefer if they kind of fix some of those issues, like with the stiff band and the thick body and the bad battery life and stuff like that. You know, those are real functional problems that exist that don't have to do with the display.
I think the curved display is going to let them... It's twofold. It's actually going to let them do things differently on the industrial design side, because suddenly you don't have this flat display that has to, you know, it has to take up that much space. You're going to be able to curve it and do things around those edges that you couldn't do before, which is why Samsung and LG have started ramping up finally doing that, right? They've gotten it to the point where they can start doing things with that design, and that's important. It's still way early, but it's important to do that.
The other question,
I don't know. I think they're going to surprise us. And I really do like a lot of the industrial design on the original Gear. But, that band, something's got to be done about that band.
You think they're going to stick with Samsung only on the phone side?
Man, I would love for them not to. But
I see them staying Samsung only, especially after they expanded the capabilities of the Gear to work with all of their most popular devices. I don't see them at this point gaining a whole ton by, you know, they it's not like they're running up against like 90% of the people that own a Note 2 and S4 have a Gear already and they need to expand out. You know, they can't even win over their own market yet.
And they need to lock in the people who already have Samsung devices for the next gen. And that's how you do it. It's an ecosystem play.
Yep.
Yeah. I would love to see them do it. And I've said this about Apple too, right? You know, I would love to see them spread out and put their stuff on everything. I mean, how much would Samsung love to see, you know, the Galaxy Gear work with an iPhone? You know, you're going to see the watch more than you're going to see the phone in somebody's pocket. I think that would be great. And I think it's something Pebble did right. And it's Apple's and Oranges. A company like Pebble has to be on as many devices as possible. It's just a no-brainer.
Pebble doesn't have a whole lot to gain.
Yeah, I've been kibitzing in the... Pebble dev forums, and I've got the Android beta on one of my phones here. It's janky. They're working on it. I think when they said it'll be ready very soon, they shouldn't have said that.
they really meant to say we just started really working on
basically,
it.
Basically, yeah. They put out a blog post this week that said, hey, we're working on it. Yeah. I mean, short of that.
Honest, I think there's still issues with the iPhone release anyway. I mean, I'm using mine with an iPhone at the minute. Battery life is horrific on the watch. The phone's taking a hit, and there's something going on there that's just not the experience it was before. I've got all these nice little apps on the watch, which is brilliant, but something's not right underneath. So they need to take their time with the Android version, and they need to get it right.
Agree. I'm still getting about 4 days on Pebble Steel. I don't know. I'm assuming the batteries are the same size.
I'm down to about 2 from between 4 and 5. So,
yeah, that's no good. What else? I'm trying to get Kevin Mitchell on here for a second. which is why I'm looking down and typing. He's got something special to show us.
Snow?
Oh, I think I know what it is.
That's right. That's fun. Let's do a couple Q&A questions while we're waiting. Is the gear worth buying when it's on sale for $150? That's a good question, Jerry asks. Looks like that's Jerry. man, for $150, I might pick one up. Maybe.
The problem is it's only $150 today, whereas you don't know whether it's going to get replaced in potentially like a week. So we'll see. Not a week. We'll have announcements maybe.
For me, it still comes back to Pebble just handles the notifications better. It shows me the information I want in a better way than anybody else has so far. So that's me. Dan is opining that they're getting rid of the stock for the next version. Entirely possible. Entirely possible.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's just a shame it's taken so long for somebody to hit 150 with it, because it never should have been what it was when it launched. Way too expensive.
I think it's more than the cost, it was the functionality.
Right.
I mean, it was a combination, right? But it was, you know, for that much money, you expect more than, I think, the gear, you know, way more than the gear delivered at launch, and probably more than it does now.
Dalen wants to know, am I the only girl here? She meant, is she the only girl there? I certainly hope not. I mean, look, I get that we're a bunch of dudes, and some of us better looking than others. Looking at me anyway. I hope there are women out there listening to us. Remember, a long time ago, we used to do that thing where we'd have the readers and listeners introduce the podcast every week. Maybe start doing that again. We at least did it on the audio version. And one week, I was like, I want the women. Bring all the women. And we got some great women doing the intros. I think it's great. I got to get my kids in here for it, too. Mia would love this. Did you guys see that intro last week?
Absolutely.
Daughters are awesome. I'm not having any more of the two's enough.
Jeffrey writes... scrolled away. Question about the notification light on the compact. The light on the compact is actually... I don't know if I can show this, but the earpiece itself is actually all one big LED.
Oh, that's cool.
It's strip along the top and the entire thing lights up. It looks pretty cool, but I can't show you because I don't have any notifications.
Kevin!
Greetings!
What is that on your face?
It is prescription Google Glass. I'm extremely excited to have a pair. And if you notice, my long haircut finally kind of comes into play because it blocks all that with natural hair.
So how much did you use glass before you got the prescription lenses put in?
So just a little bit. You know, I borrowed on a recent trip to Miami. You know, we were out there for team meetings. I think I borrowed Marcus's pair for a few days. So I was just, you know, going for my morning walk or jog around the South Beach there wearing them. And, you know, I got a pair early in January. Just used them a few times. But it's funny. I just ran out of contact lenses, didn't buy any more. So I couldn't wear them anymore, really, right? I need glasses. I need prescriptions. So then I quit, and then as soon as the prescription frames were announced, we ordered a pair that day. And I'm in Canada, obviously, so I couldn't order them directly. So I had a friend order them and ship them to me. So I got them, I took them right to the optometrist, got lenses put in, which took a few days, and just got them back. So hooked them up last night.
Now, it wasn't cheap getting them. I mean, you don't need to say how much it cost, but it wasn't cheap getting the lenses put in either, right? No. So on top of that, but $250 cost, you're going to have more.
Exactly. I mean, I never did any research on the best place to go get lenses. You know, I've been using the same optometrist since I was 14 or 12 years old, something like that. So I just took them in, and the lenses were honestly $330 Canadian, which is pretty much, you know, close to par to US dollars, which blew me away. I was like, why is it so expensive? But they said, one of the things they said is that with the shape of the frame, which does have quite a bit of metal, like a bend to the shape, they use a special type of lens. I think it's a plastic type of lens instead of a hard glass, which they said is higher quality, but it's more expensive. And then, you know, but they put on all the coatings and things like that, right, for anti-glare and all that kind of stuff. So pretty expensive. And they also said, you know, you might notice a little bit of warpage on the outside just because it is such a bent frame compared to, you know, the glasses I was wearing before, which are these guys. Which are a little bit straighter on the frame. But I'm liking them. I wore them out to dinner last night, and not one person said anything, which I was really disappointed in, because I think I'm the only person in the city where I live that has them. So I think Canadians are too polite to actually just stop and interrupt you. They just assumed I was normal. Or maybe they're perfect. This is the future, and the future is here.
And Kevin's being humble, because the one time I was up in Winnipeg, there were people stopping him, being like, you're Crackberry Kevin, you're Crackberry Kevin.
No, now they're avoiding me, maybe. So, maybe. I don't know. But honestly, like, putting them on, I think the thing I'm liking a lot is, just because I do wear glasses, I am used to wearing glasses to see, it doesn't feel like I'm putting on technology, right? I'm just putting on my pair of glasses. It's a different pair of glasses, but, you know, between my pairs of sunglasses and everything else, I'm used to swapping up glasses. So it's good for me as a person who's worn glasses for years.
That's probably a big difference. In fact, that's something I don't think we brought up enough, because none of us really wear. Andrew wears glasses, right? Sometimes.
I got LASIK, so I could stop.
Oh, that's right. Glasses. You did. Yeah.
I got contacts, so I could stop wearing glasses, and then I got mad at that and got LASIK, so I could stop doing the whole thing.
I'm blind.
Which is way more expensive than putting lenses in Google Glass. So.
Awesome. Well, thanks for swinging by and showing us that, Kevin.
My pleasure.
We're going to make you write something at some point, right?
Yeah, have me back on once I spend more time, you know, living with these guys. I'm definitely going to wear them to Barcelona for Mobile World Congress and put them to use. And I'm curious to get some of the tips from you guys, too, because I know you've spent a little more time using them. And, you know, the thing I'm kind of jumping up and back and forth with now is, you know, Google Glass versus a smartwatch for what it does today. Mm-hmm. You know, because I was wearing the Galaxy Gear for a while there. And, you know, I had my camera, I had my photo albums, and I find that's kind of what I've been using so far with this, is, you know, snapping photos and that. So I'm sort of battling, you know, where one might be better than the other. But I'm excited to see where Google Glass goes. It's definitely fun.
Awesome. All right. Well, yeah, Kevin's going to be with us in Barcelona next week, so that'll be fun. And we will certainly have him back on afterwards. All right. See ya.
Thank you, Carol.
Hey, more breaking news. Marissa reminds us she is here as well. We have two girls. Woohoo! I like that. I'll be at home and I'll like tell my wife and kids, I'm like, I wanted all the women, and they don't seem to get that joke quite like I do. But I like having girls around. Anyway, that doesn't, you know, there's no way for that not to be awkward, I guess. which do you guys prefer, the original Pebble or the Pebble Steel? That is a very good question.
I only have one Pebble. Yeah, I haven't gotten to use the steel for an extended period of time or anything, so.
I'm not sure if I've let my feelings be known, but here they are again, side by side. And
one is turned on, and the other one isn't.
Well, one is turned on. This one's actually the original. I've got 2.0 on, so it's very much beta. I tell you, even the full version kind of freaks out every now and then with Bluetooth. I'm liking steel so much more, and I haven't been a watch guy for a long time. I paid my own money for this. I like it that much. So yeah, that's all I have to say about that. You want to talk Galaxy S5 anymore? I know we've had all these bleaks coming out, and there's so much fake stuff out there. I've just been.
We'll know in a week. So
right.
Yeah, we'll get it in a week. I think the biggest thing to watch out for, hardware's going to get better, obviously. Whether they change the design, I think, well, not whether they change the design, I think they will change the design because they've been moving towards the whole leather effect and the whole stitched back kind of thing. Whether that is what they do for the S5 or whether they got something else planned, that'll be interesting to see. On the software, I think we've seen enough leaked stuff now that it's pretty clear that the whole look of TouchWiz is probably going to change quite significantly if they even still call it TouchWiz, because you know, they might not. They haven't used that name for a while. It's looking like it's a lot more flat. The icons are more sort of, you know, not necessarily holo style, but closer to Google's vision of Android. And I think there's a good chance they'll probably end up killing the menu button at the same time because they've already done that in their tablets.
God, I hope so. Mm. You don't think they're going to ditch the home button, do you?
The tablets still have the home button. They just replaced the menu with a hard multitasking key. So it's at least one step in the right direction. But God, that would be awesome if they went on-screen buttons. But I don't see that happening.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm excited. It's been a while since we had a new phone. It's been a long time since we had like a big, you know, I mean, we had the Nexus 5, but I'm used to having like one a month.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Shin Yi.
I've been looking at that question for like 15 minutes.
Headphones,
it's a big deal.
On the top or on the bottom? Do you have a different name for it in the UK? You just call it headphone jack? Do you just call it a headphone jack?
I think so.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Normally I like it on the bottom actually, because when I go to put it in my pocket, I put it face down. I put it like head down. So when I pull it up, I'm holding it right. So like if I'm out walking or slash running, and I'm actually doing a little bit of that these days, I like having the headphone jack on the bottom so it's sticking out of my pocket the right way.
Bottom is just so much better.
The X got it wrong.
I mean, I've lived with it.
Oh, the Nexus 5 is on top. Mm.
For me, the bigger thing is when they start flipping the micro USB port around.
No.
That drives me nuts.
That's dependent on which phone you had before, right?
I know. That's a nerd problem.
Yeah, you just need... Well, I don't know. Richard knows the wonders of having the Lightning adapter that's ambidextrous.
Jason says, please do a little better with the event leaks to the podcast. Just a suggestion. That was my fault, I think.
I think it might have been my fault. But
I'm not sure if Andrew set it up wrong because he tried it for the first time or if I blew it trying to come behind him. So, yep, our fault. Normally we're fine with that. It's not a big deal.
If that's the biggest thing that we messed up this week, then we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, I'll be pretty happy.
A lot of stuff going on.
You want to talk about Nexus 7 on Verizon quickly?
The Nexus 7 is on Verizon.
Yeah, exactly. You can activate your Nexus 7 that you already have on Verizon now, which is probably a bigger deal.
And they'll give you a really crappy discount for a 2-year agreement. They'll save you.
Don't do that, please. I was just grabbing mine because supposedly the update's rolling out to enable the cellular one to work on Verizon.
And the funny thing is it already worked. That was the whole thing.
Right.
So what is this update actually doing?
Probably something behind the scenes so that...
Jerry was saying at the time it's probably closer to what is lurking on the Nexus 5, which is some Sprint menus hidden behind the scenes so they can test it.
Yeah.
Probably nothing more than that.
I don't know.
Anyways.
So Nexus 7. I mean, I'm glad.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been there from the get-go.
That's a lot of people that wanted to, pay the $10 to add it to their own, to their shared plan that couldn't do it before.
I feel like I should have lots of hoops. I mean, I've got one here along with the Wi-Fi, and I feel like I should be using the one with cell data, but I guess it's only another $10 a month, huh?
I've always wanted to get one and just put it on the T-Mobile, like 200 megabyte free a month plan.
Right.
Just because I just like the idea of the mobile connected tablet, and you just bring it and you have it for a couple things, but I'm not really using my Nexus 7 a whole ton already, so I feel like it would just be a big waste of money.
You know, I've seen a lot of people mention that. Our pal JR Raphael was talking about this week. I think maybe the guys at Giga, I forget, somebody else wrote something too. I love the crap out of this Nexus 7. I was trying to think like what I would change about this tablet. I can't think of it. Let me pop it out of the case. I can't think of anything I would change about this. I mean, battery life can always get better, sure. Bezels, I suppose, can always get a little smaller. I mean, there's a point. You have to have some bezels, right?
You want them to be kind of big so you can hold it.
Right.
Would you go to maybe an 8.3, 8.4-ish screen?
I think I could. I mean, I've used the LG one plenty.
Using the G-pad, I don't want to go any larger. It just got too heavy and too big to easily, wield in one hand and read. That was kind of my issue with it.
Right.
Well, the G-pad is metal, isn't it? Not plastic. Yeah. So.
And it feels way different. So it's kind of apples and oranges there. I love this tablet. You know what else I love this week? Is the Muse wallpaper. It's kind of hard to see here. But Roman Nurek from Google put this out, and it pulls from, I think he's pulling from Wikipedia Commons for the artwork, and then there are other applications that you can tie into this, so like APID. Yeah.
It's an open API that anybody can plug in their own source, and you can plug in your own source as well.
Right.
Which my coolest thing was it integrates with the KitKat file picker. You can point it at a Dropbox or Google Drive folder and just drop anything in there on your desktop, and it'll just rotate in, which I thought that was the coolest thing. You're kind of setting up your own, your own image cache for it.
I'm lazy about wallpapers, and I usually don't change them off the default. I used to use one. It was a, I forget who made it. I think it was Kitty Face. Kitty Face. It was one that had like big blades of grass, and then the background, it was like a panoramic kind of sky scene, and the background would change as you went throughout the day. So I could look down and the sky would be pink and I knew it was morning, or you would see like the sun setting, which was helpful for me when we're at shows and stuff, because you kind of forget what time of day it is. Mm-hmm. But oh man, I love this. It's really nicely done. It's beautiful.
And there's already a ton of plugins as well to from Flickr and 500 pixel and Reddit and God knows everywhere.
Really, really cool thing to try. And if you haven't seen it yet, absolutely go download it and give it a shot.
And the coolest part about it is it just like Dash Clock was, it's like I wouldn't say perfect, but it's an amazing example of how you can make apps work really well. You know, obviously from somebody who knows what he's doing with Android apps, obviously, but it's a great example of, you know, this is how things should look and this is how they can work.
And without being too much, right? Mm-hmm. Like these are very subtle apps.
Right, it's not trying to change your life or anything like that, but it's something that's really cool, and it just works really well. You know, we've all seen tons of very, very bad and clunky live wallpapers.
Remember back in the day, they used to slow your device down so bad. And
mm-hmm. Even the ones that shipped on the device, like back in the Nexus S days, or even Galaxy Nexus.
I still have phones now that can't run that Pond live wallpaper with the leaves in it at full speed.
Really?
I know the Nexus 4 even slowed down on that one.
Dan writes, I am extremely happy with the Google Play Music upgrade. To be able to sort under my library for artist, album, etc. is a great addition. I agree. I use Google Play Music probably every day. I'll tell you what really got me this past week, though. And I've been trying to listen to different sorts of stuff, like things I wouldn't normally listen to because it's... I'm paying for it, but it's essentially free, right? And the new Broken Bells record, which I actually really like. I'm kind of a sucker for disco sort of falsetto stuff as well. And but they were only streaming 4 songs. Everything else you had to buy. So I broke down and I bought it. But that gets me. Not happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
Still not the same as buying music, right? I mean, streaming is at the mercy of the... of the labels. Can you guys talk about the LG G Pro 2? I kind of liked it. Is it too huge? Haven't seen it yet.
Looking forward to seeing it next week.
Yeah. I mean, it's... We'll see it next week.
I think the question is, what is it besides a big G2?
Right. What does the Pro entail?
Yeah, I mean, last year, G Pro... This was essentially their Note. Right, and I think Kevin's got it up in Winnipeg right now. Actually, I sent it with him to Korea last year because it's a Korean version that I had. And for me, it was basically a Note 2, only better. I think it was a little more powerful, right? And it came out later. What's that?
It came out later, so it had that bump in specs, had a better camera, and a really nice screen.
Right. So it's LG's offering in that sort of oversized world, and it was really nice. Now I don't remember what AT&T did to it. If they, I need to go back and look at our review. I just don't remember.
I remember Andrew Vaca reviewed it, and I believe he was really happy with it.
I think the difference this time around is there's no kind of discernible hardware difference between the G Pro 2 and the Note 3. It because of where we are, it's still running the same, basically the same internals, same RAM. It's a little bit bigger. So
I think that's going to be interesting on a lot of levels with the stuff that we see in the first half of the year, because you have slightly faster Snapdragon 800s, but basically we're still more or less Snapdragon 800, 1080p displays, 2 or 3 gigs of RAM, that same kind of general area. So you're looking at maybe the stuff that's coming out now to be differentiating in other areas, maybe better battery life or a better camera or something like that. It's going to be different than just a straight-up spec core, which is what we've had for the past couple of years.
And the new knock-on stuff sounds awesome.
Yeah, so it's going to have like a password instead of...
It's called knock code. You knock, you tap on it in a specific, cadence, and it unlocks your phone like a password or a PIN.
That's going to be cool.
The Morse code or something.
If you don't know the code, you're not coming in.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to try that. Although somebody was saying the Musée wallpaper, and by the way, Musée is Russian for museum.
It's also French for museum.
Is it?
Yep.
Did not
just
know
without
that.
The Zs.
What was I going to say? Oh, Musée doesn't really work. I mean, it works on G2 and on the G Flex, but remember, on the LG phones, you double tap to turn the screen on and off, right? In Musée, you double tap to, by default, the wallpaper is blurry on purpose for effect, and so if you double tap, it turns the display off. Oops.
Yeah, didn't think about that one.
That was kind of funny. Brian wants to know, true or false, can we has Nexus 8 this year? I'm really bad at cheeseburger. I don't know.
I don't think so, yeah.
You do or you don't?
I do think so. I think the timing's right for them to step past the sort of 7-inch size.
Do you think that's what it'll be instead of a revamped 7 that I can't think of any way to improve? They'll just make it bigger and different?
Maybe. They might even keep the 7 around. It's not like the original 2012 Nexus 7 was kind of beginning to slow down by that point. It was showing its age. I think they could probably keep the 7 around and just have a revamped one. A new Nexus 8. Although, that said, we're still waiting on whatever they're going to do in the 10H sort of screen size. We still have the old Nexus 10.
And the Nexus 10 just hasn't been on sale for just months now.
Ryan wants to know, why are people making a big deal out of the rumored minimum OS version for Google Mobile Services apps licensing? We talked about this internally this week. If you haven't seen this, Android Police had some rumor that some document or something that showed dates for basically how long windows in which you can submit older versions of Android, right, to be certified, your device to be certified. And at some point, you have to be current or they're just not even going to take a look. I'm not sure why that surprises anybody at all. I think the only thing new here might be the dates, right?
The significant thing for me looking at that, if it's legit, is that the cutoff of 4.3 is like July, which is a year after it launched. Whereas you're looking now at the cutting off, they're slowly bringing it in from Gingerbread up to Jelly Bean. You could still submit, as of January, you could still submit something with Gingerbread on it. That's not going to be the case. They're slowly bringing it in. If this is accurate, they're bringing it into, you have to basically be on the last version or the version before last to get it up to speed.
Jerry sends his regards and says he wants to hug the guy who asked about the apps. it's really not that big a deal. And we've seen more stories this week about how Google, if you want to use its open operating system, you have to agree to all this stuff. Well, yeah, if you want to use Google's proprietary stuff on top of the open operating system, yes, you have to agree with it.
And I think that Diane Hackborn had the best explanation of why that is in a big comment thread, I think, on Ars Technica about responding to somebody basically explaining that the reason why you have to play nice with Google to get the Google apps is because it integrates with their cloud services. And there's no easy way to make that a streamlined process. So they can't just have, completely wide open systems that connect to their internal servers to offer all these services. There's just no way to make that happen efficiently. And the bigger point about it is that if you go to AOSP and you build what's there, it's a fully functioning phone, even without all this. And that's not usually the case in a lot of open source projects. It works without Google's influence, and that's kind of the biggest point. It may not work exactly like it does on the Nexus 5, but that's just kind of how it is. There's nothing about Android as an open source project that says that it has to be like it is on the Nexus 5. Open for everybody to put on any device.
And Amazon did their own thing with it, right? I mean, they don't play with Google. They don't play in Google Sandbox.
Right, and the Kindle Fire still works.
Still using Android, and the Kindle Fire works pretty damn well for a lot of people, so.
And we might see the same thing from a certain other company in the next week or so.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know why people have such a hard time with this. Android is code. It's this operating system that anyone can download and do anything they want with. That is open. You can see the changes. You can see the code. As soon as you put proprietary stuff on it, it's no longer open, and you have to agree to things. You have to agree, you know, HTC has to agree to Google standards if they want to use Google's apps. If I want to use HTC's phone, I have to agree to their license and say, yes, I will use, you know, and whatever the legalese is there. It's not new. So kind of whenever I see somebody use open in quotes now, and I'm not against using open in quotes because, I mean, there are reasons to do that, but it's almost like you know somebody has an agenda and you know what they're going for when you say that. And it's just not that confusing to me.
And it's not even, like it was news like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
When they first started licensing Google apps.
And stating, you know, there's just a lot of statements happening about that, yes, this is how it is. You have to license Google apps, and people have known that for a long time, and there are terms to licensing. You know, that's true for any kind of software or outside of the software world. There's going to be terms to that, but when two companies come together to, you know, share IP like that, you know, it's just how it's going to be. And the fact that there's just statements going around and then acting like it's some kind of revelation is kind of my issue with it.
Or that, yeah, I mean, that Amazon has failed somehow. And it's funny, when you hear these arguments, they always leave out Amazon and just how well Amazon has done. And Amazon surprised the hell out of me. I didn't think they'd do as well as they did with the Kindle.
I look at BlackBerry as well. They're using the Android code to build a runtime inside their own operating system.
Right.
There's no Google apps in there. There's no Google, you know, Google Play services, at least to my knowledge, doesn't just, you know, you try and put anything Google related on like that and it just spits it out. So
it's, you know, it's just not that hard. So bear that in mind when you read those hit pieces, because that's what they are. And they're not even good ones. They're just not. Ryan says, I just want to replay those lines Andrew and Phil said over and over and over again.
There you go. Episode 171 is going to be your...
Oh, man. Marissa says, did you guys know that HTC is doing an AMA on Reddit very soon? It's going on right now. I might have been asking questions behind the scenes. I'll be curious to see what they say and what goes on there. If you didn't see, they teased something this afternoon with broken phone screens. Go see it. That's all I can say about that. No, that's all I can say. Quit asking. Fine. What else? Or should we wrap it up and be quick about it this week?
So someone was asking who is going to Barcelona next week.
Me. Four of us, Kevin Michalik and Dan from WP Central. And I think I'm going to go, Nokia's doing something. Wink, wink.
Is that a wink or are you having a seizure or something?
That's the weirdest thing about them, you know, changing all of their materials to green and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Why that, if that really does mean something Android-y, that kind of means that they're going to embrace the fact that it's Android and use that as a selling point. But the kind of the indications are that they wouldn't use it as a selling point because they're just going to layer their and Microsoft services on top of it, and it doesn't matter, just like current low-end Nokia phones. It doesn't matter that they're running S60 or whatever they're running. It's all about the fact that it's a Nokia phone.
Except, consider this. Who might they be using that for? Who might they be trying to use that as a selling point for? If not you and me, who? Guesses? No? Oh, come on, guys!
Well, it isn't me, so...
No, right. I know, yeah, I'm not going to care about it.
To be fair, though, I mean, they could say that...
You need a couple things.
Could set up quite easily, and it has a buzz around it. Everybody knows what Android is by now, so they wouldn't even need to say much about it. They could just say, whatever it is, this runs on Android, and people are interested.
Here's the thing. You need somebody to buy the phones, first of all. Those people are out there, right? If the rumors are correct and this is a replacement for Asha and it's, you know, emerging markets, fine. They're the people.
And we're talking like $49 unlock phones.
Right. So you've got the people there to buy the phones. You know what you need next are the developers to put apps on them. That's who they're going to target. That's why they're going to say, it runs Android apps. Bring them to us. Come give
us
some.
Put them in our store.
And that just poses a whole nother issue of, you know, they're going to build their own app store then, and we're talking about super low-end phones, so we're talking about resource-constrained development. You know, this is the kind of stuff that Firefox OS is dealing with right now, which they're targeting their phones or targeting their OS at phones that are super cheap, less than $100 unlocked, and they're trying to get web developers to make these web apps that are resource-constrained and things like that. So, and completely separate from Android, of course. So, you know,
they've had an app store of sorts before, you know, long for many years before Windows Phone was a thing, and even the Asha phones, they come with some kind of app store. I think they used to call it the Ovi Store or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so they've already had the infrastructure. They've done that sort of thing. It may just be that they're going to try and rebuild a. They're going to try and rebuild it, but they're going to need a whole different set of apps now that Symbian is put out to rest.
I guess I understand that there has to be some breaking point where they stop using Symbian and they just move on. But the fact still remains that they're not just going to be plugging in Google Play, presumably. They're doing their own thing. So they're going to run into the same issue that BlackBerry did, where they said, oh, Android, it's just Android apps. Developers, all you have to do is a couple tweaks and just submit them to us, and then we'll make it happen. That didn't really turn out very well. And, you know, that had a lot of promise to it. Amazon is obviously on the other side of the coin, but they put out their app store on Android first and got a lot of developers on board first and then came out with their tablets. So it's kind of interesting to see what Nokia is going to do to actually get people to submit their Android apps. It doesn't just automatically translate over.
On the other side, we had reports, I think, from The Verge this week that Microsoft might be looking at Android app support for Windows and Windows Phone, which supposedly in the very early stages of discussion in the company about that. But again, that's kind of echoes of what BlackBerry was planning. And if, of course, Microsoft and BlackBerry, very different companies in very different positions, but you can already look at companies that were there working to get Windows and Android working on the same kind of device, more or less playing nicely with each other. If that happens, it's going to be huge for, you know, huge development for Google through, because it's their platform, and for Microsoft.
And it'd be a really, really strange experience for anybody that was using Windows Phone as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Windows Phone and Android are probably about as far away as you could possibly get when it comes to how things look and feel and operate. So, I mean, it's bad enough. Like, for me personally, it was bad enough on BB10 that I haven't used it recently, but the experience was just, you had all these gestures and the way of controlling the native apps. And then you get into something that's an Android app and it's running in a runtime and you've got different controls and it looks different, things behave differently. Mm-hmm. And it was a jarring enough experience there. And they have, you know, you can see some more similarities in the way it looks. I mean, Windows Phone, nothing looks like Windows Phone on Windows 8. So,
and yeah. You think about how bad it looks already when we get like kind of iPhone ports with the iPhone interface over to Android. Then you think about transporting that into Windows. Windows Phone, at least it's full screen, right? We don't know how things are going to be handled on, you know, if they bring it to Windows tablets. You know, Android isn't the best at scaling to tablets natively already. You're just going to run into all kinds of issues there. They're going to have to come up with something inventive.
Windows 8 doesn't actually look that bad on tablets, I don't think. The way they've designed it, that's what it's for, surely. It's a tablet interface. And like you say, Android apps don't exactly scale particularly well for the tablets, a lot of them. So, I mean, you'd have to think that it would be an app gap kind of generated thing. They must be going for, if it does become a thing, okay, we need to get stuff onto Windows. We need to get stuff onto Windows Phone. What is the easiest, quickest way we can do that?
But I mean, you do that, but you also risk having what happened to BlackBerry, where you just have so many crappy ported Android apps that look nothing like your own design language.
And even big developers like Skype, eBay, they just threw tweaked Android apps into the BlackBerry world. Done. And it, you know, from big name developers like that, you would expect a proper native experience, and it just it just didn't feel right. I don't know.
And it's not a long-term growth solution either. I mean, how much market share can they really gain by patching Android apps onto Windows?
Yeah, I think Tom Warren called it a Band-Aid, and that's exactly what it is if they decide to do it.
It'll be interesting. You know, ask us again in a week and a half.
Yep.
And we'll be, you know, even if we take next week off, we will absolutely be podcasting from a Mobile World Congress. So
yeah,
stay tuned for that. So I think that's it. I think we're done. I know I say that every week, and we keep coming back every weekend. But
we're not done for good, just for this week.
Right. For everybody who was trying to watch the Hangout Live and had the wrong link, that's my Andrew's fault.
No, I think that's actually your fault. But
it was one of our faults. Sorry about that. Probably do audio only from Barcelona, generally, is what we do, just because it's quicker and easier.
You're not going to get Kevin to record it on glass?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe that's what we'll do.
So, hang out on air from glass.
If you want, you can email us at podcast@androidcentral.com. Get us all on Google Plus and Twitter and all those places. Just search our names. It's the best thing. Except for Richard over there.
Yeah.
Doesn't use his name.
Hmm. And I can't just use my name on Google Plus either because somebody already took it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why I have to put UK on the end because it was either that or put a bunch of numbers and, yeah, somebody took it. I don't like them. I don't know who they are, but I don't like them.
Sorry. As we are every week, we are brought to you by shopandroid.com. Call 888-468-6158. That is shopandroid.com. By the way, we're doing some exciting stuff. Can't tell you all about it yet, but you know those Galaxy S4 posts that have been pissing people off left and right because they're all basic stuff? That's only the beginning. Actually, we should have done those like 8 months ago. But basically, everything for every phone, just get ready. If you didn't notice, we had a few bugs this week on the site because we did a huge CMS update late Sunday night. It's going to do a lot of things. It's going to enable us to have better design. It's going to let us do different things in the app. It's the start of a lot of things to come. So you're going to see a lot of cool new content this year. It's going to take a little while. Not going to happen next week. Certainly not going to happen the week after. But cool stuff is ahead, so thank you all for hanging in there with us. I know things get weird sometimes, so I'm all right with that. You guys all right with that?
We're already enjoying some of the benefits in the creation side.
Cool. Happy all right, so probably won't hear from us next week. You will absolutely hear from us from Barcelona, I promise. So see you then.
Later.
See you later. All right.